This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Looking to start a side hustle or become your own boss? Do it with Shopify. Whether you're selling succulents or stilettos, Shopify has the industry-leading tools to help you create, control, and grow your own business. So get serious about selling and get Shopify today. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.co.uk/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.co.uk/special offer.
Welcome to Tech News Briefing. It's Tuesday, February 13th. I'm Alex Osola for The Wall Street Journal. Coming up on today's show, OpenAI CEO Sam Altman has an ambitious plan to reshape the global chip industry, a plan that could require up to $7 trillion. We'll hear about what it'll take to accomplish it and why raising money could be the easy part from WSJ Semiconductors reporter Asa Fitch. And then, Temu is now the second most popular shopping app in the U.S. by monthly users, behind Amazon. To make this happen, the company has been spending heavily on marketing. WSJ reporter Shen Liu tells us more about Temu's strategy and how it's affecting U.S. retailers. But first, artificial intelligence needs a number of sophisticated chips to power it. OpenAI CEO Sam Altman has often complained that there aren't enough of these kinds of chips to power his company's quest for artificial general intelligence. That's part of the reason behind his multi-trillion dollar plan to reshape the global semiconductor industry. He wants to build more factories to make more chips, but that won't come without its fair share of obstacles. WSJ Semiconductors reporter Asa Fitch is here to tell us more. Asa, you reported last week that Sam Altman is seeking trillions of dollars to reshape the chip industry. Break this down for us. What is the actual goal here?
The actual goal is to relieve some of the problems that are constraining the development of AI, namely the computing power that AI needs, and there's not enough of it. So there's one company called NVIDIA that produces the lion's share of chips that are used to make systems like ChatGPT, which is what OpenAI produces. And those things are in short supply, and so they need a workaround. They need more of these chips. And one way to do that, in theory at least, is build a bunch of chip factories to produce them.
In theory, building a bunch of chip factories sounds pretty simple. But what are some of the potential issues?
One of them is simply talent. You need people to staff new factories. There aren't a lot of people in the world who can do this kind of stuff. The industry is already facing a potential shortage of up to around 60,000 or more people based on its current plans to build out in the US and other places. Another problem is that if you build a bunch of chip factories, start producing a bunch of chips, you could oversupply the market. You know, it makes prices of chips go down. Those factories become less economical, less financially viable. Another big problem is just the technology itself is very difficult. It's not easy to develop and engineer chips and build new factories and so on and so forth. Chip making is perhaps the most complex form of manufacturing that exists in the world. So to try to start doing that at a large scale on the cutting edge in a major way, you know, it requires more than money.
Yeah. And how about raising that money? Is that one of the big challenges? I mean, trillions of dollars with a T, it's a big goal.
It is a big goal. I mean, it's way beyond what anybody's ever discussed raising before for some kind of commercial venture. Sam Altman has had talks with SoftBank, with the United Arab Emirates, other Middle Eastern potential backers of this kind of project. But the scale of this is just pretty unheard of.
You also mentioned that the technology itself is difficult. Is Altman equipped to take on this challenge? Has he worked with this kind of technology before?
Altman is a tech guy. Of course, he knows people in the chip business because of that. But this level of kind of getting into the nitty gritty with chip manufacturing, it's not really something he's done in his previous career. So it'd be a different new sort of venture for Altman. He's discussed expanding chip making with some of the established chip makers who know the business, know what they're doing. Obviously, most prominently, Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing, which is the largest contract chip maker in the world. Sam could bring in some pretty well-heeled and pretty skilled partners to do this. That doesn't solve all of your problems, as we've discussed.
That was our semiconductors reporter, Asa Fitch. For more of your daily tech headlines, check out TNB Tech Minute. That's right here in the Tech News Briefing feed. Coming up, why are more Americans buying goods on Temu? We'll find out next after the break.
Fees. The F word in travel. With an HSBC Global Money account, you can drop fees from Acapulco to Zurich. That means no fees here.
Bonjour.
no fix here, howdy, and definitely no fees here. Pay no HSBC fees overseas with a global money account.
HSBC UK, opening up a world of opportunity. Available to HSBC UK customers with an eligible current account. Exclude some accounts such as the HSBC Basic Bank account. For mobile banking app users only, non-HSBC fees may apply.
Over the weekend, millions of people watching the Super Bowl may have been surprised to see not one, not two, but three ads for e-commerce company Temu. You know, this ad. In some ways, though, this is not surprising, since Temu, or Temu, however you want to say it, launched in the US in September 2022, it's been pouring money into marketing, trying to become the go-to place where Americans can buy cheap goods online. Temu was the fifth biggest digital advertising spender in the final 3 months of 2023. WSJ reporter Shen Liu joins us now with more on Temu's marketing strategy and whether it's paying off. Shen Liu, who are some of Temu's competitors in the US?
When Temu first arrived in the US, people thought Shein, which is a fast fashion giant, was Temu's main competitor. But as Temu has evolved in the US, people realize that Temu is a full category marketplace and Shein is very concentrated on fashion, especially women's fashion. And Temu sells a wider category of products than Shein. So we can now say that because of its rock bottom priced products that Shein sells, its competitors are the dollar stores like Dollar Tree, Dollar General. It's also competing against stalwarts like Amazon and Walmart, although its offerings are not as wide as Amazon.
How is Temu appealing to American consumers? What is its marketing strategy?
Temu's marketing strategy is that it has flash deals all the time, and it's known as a heavily discounted place to buy things. It's cheaper than Amazon. It's cheaper than Walmart. Even the dollar shops can't compete.
Temu is owned by Chinese parent company PDD Holdings. How does that affect its ability to sell goods at such low prices?
Temu is able to access PDD's tens of thousands of suppliers in China, and they cut the middlemen and ship products directly from China to the US and the rest of the world and at wholesale prices. And the other reason why it's so cheap is that Chinese factories, a lot of them are struggling with overcapacity, and they would have to sell the unsold inventory for almost nothing elsewhere. But on Temu, even if the price is so cheap already, they can still make more money on the items on Temu.
So lately, Temu has been spending more on marketing as part of its growth strategy. Ballpark, how much is it spending on advertising and attracting influencers?
Temu is spending a lot on advertising. JP Morgan analysts estimate that Temu spent almost $1.7 billion in marketing in 2023, its full year of operation in the US and elsewhere. And they estimate that their marketing bill would hit almost $3 billion in 2024. And Goldman Sachs analysts estimate that Temu was losing on average $7 on each order last year.
What has Temu or its parent PDD Holdings said about the fact that Temu is losing money?
Temu says the idea that it sells at a loss to gain market share isn't true, but they declined to share whether the company is currently profitable.
What impact is Temu's marketing having on its competitors?
Temu has hit over 50 million active users in less than 1 year, and that was extraordinary. It took Temu 6 months to build a user size that took Shein years to build in the US. And there are also some e-commerce companies' existing shoppers are turning to Temu to shop. For example, according to research from Earnest Analytics, in December, the share of Dollar General customers wallet on Temu rose to 10% from 1% in December 2022. At the meantime, shares of their wallet spending at Dollar General and Dollar Tree both declined. Temu is also affecting special e-commerce companies like Etsy because of its huge marketing spend. Companies like Etsy can't really keep up with that because they're not growing as fast as Temu. And analysts have also found that many of the products sold on Etsy actually also appeared on Temu, except it was a lot more expensive on Etsy. So Etsy had to create a filter to remove identical items on the platform that also appear elsewhere late last year.
So clearly, some of these competitors are suffering as Temu rises. Are there companies that are benefiting from this rise?
Yes. Meta and Google are the big beneficiaries of Temu's rise, especially Meta, because that's the main place where Temu places ads.
Why are some analysts skeptical about Temu's growth strategy?
They're saying that if Temu can't find a way to generate recurring revenues, the substantial subsidies could negatively affect its parent company's profitability.
That was our reporter, Shen Liu. And that's it for Tech News Briefing. Today's show was produced by Julie Chang, the supervising producer, Catherine Millsop. I'm Alex Osola for The Wall Street Journal. We'll be back this afternoon with TMB Tech Minute. Thanks for listening.